Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Hello, hello, happy Monday. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean. You're on UK Health Radio. Hope you're having a lovely day. Yes, it's a Monday, the beginning of the week, but, you know, something has to start somewhere. So I'm bringing you a wonderful show today. And just to kick it off, as part of today's show, I just want to honour that we are in a moment of a Hindu festival called the Navaratri. Now, Navaratri is an annual Hindu festival observed in honor of the goddess Durga, an aspect of Adi Parashakti, the supreme goddess. Now, for Shaivites and Shaktis, Durga is a form of actually is goddess Parvati. So, Goddess Parvati, who I'm sure many of you will be familiar with, this particular festival, it spans over 9 nights, first in the month of Chaitra and again in the month of Ashvin. So that's where we are. Today's guest actually sits very, very nicely into the theme, which is why we've arranged for this to happen today. I'm pleased to welcome another ambassador. So many of you have been listening to my weekly show will be familiar now with ompresents.com and our ambassadors. Today we have Yogini Jema, who is an ambassador and a self-practiced yogi, or yogini, which is the feminine aspect of a yogi. We're going to find out about Yogini Jema's story. But before we do that, I just want to read out a little bit of what is kind of, I ask people to send me a bit of information about themselves and just so I can get some context for you all. And this is part of what I was sent. So this is from Yogini Jema's hand and heart. She was suffering with some long-term ailments that modern medicine was not effective in treating, which forced her to seek out alternative healing methods, and that led her to a discovery of Ayurveda, the most ancient natural medicinal system. So that is where Yogini Jema's journey began. She's also a practicing yogi and many other amazing, miraculous ways of being. Welcome to Lean Into Clean, should I say, Yogini.
Namaste, Jarvis. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste. I am, for those that are listening, I am giving a prayer position over my heart in honor of the feminine, the rising of the feminine and the goddess energy today in Yogini Jema. Thank you so much for joining us today. She's in America, in California, so it's like ridiculous o'clock over there. It's like four. Is it 5 o'clock now?
It is 5 a.m., yes, which is a very auspicious hour in the yoga culture. It's the time of Brahma Muhurta, where there's stillness. Nature is just on the verge of waking up within the next hour and a half. So that 2 hours before sunrise is when we have that direct channel to the subtle realm. So I think it's great that we have this time together during this time.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely perfect. And that's actually very beautifully set the tone. So I want to ask you, because I think that, this show would be really beautiful for us to get across the kind of journey or the path of becoming a either a yogi or a yogini. And there's years and years of disciplined practice. I mean, I know because of my father's Indian, and I trained with my yogi shaman for, 15 years. It was intense, sometimes painful, incredibly disciplined. I had a whole year where I didn't watch any any television or read any media or just read lots of spiritual books. And, it was thrilling. But you do have to, for want of a better word, unplug yourself from the everyday way of being in order to plug in to something else. Would that be a fairly fair overview?
I usually don't start with that, but yes, there are years of tapasya, which are, the definition of tapasya is austerities, but it's really about breaking all of the attachments, which are the source, the outer attachments, which are the source of our suffering. And because we're dependent on that, and our emotions sway from highs to lows, whether or not we have those attachments to bring us the pleasure and balance that we need, we go through a period of detaching through that. And it can be very difficult. I went through living in India for, I mean, I did my austerities for quite some time, but sleeping on hardwood floors where my shoulders and hips were bruised and being at really high temperatures of 114 degrees plus during hot season and not even so much as using a fan. But what it brings you to a point is a place where hot or cold, the peace within me stays the same, a beautiful plush mattress or a hardwood floor. I sleep well and I find comfort in any circumstance.
And that's beautiful. And you know what? That's actually a very beautiful way to start, because actually, when you are, I think discipline is perhaps an incorrect term, but we understand it being having practiced a discipline. But it's more of a an awareness or more of a commitment to something. And yes, that does require discipline. Let's go to you at the beginning of your journey. So sorry I started you somewhere that you don't normally start. Yeah,
Right in the depths of it. Yeah. No,
that's me.
the beginning was nothing like that. I had just approached my 30th birthday, and throughout my 20s, started collecting one small ailment after another, and was sought out a lot of different Western modalities to try and remedy those symptoms. And what I found is I was just on my prescription medications were growing, and I was told to take it if needed, or continue to take it to prevent. And before you know it, I was living between New York and Los Angeles, and I was traveling with a bag of prescription medications. And I had this moment where I said, this doesn't look like a happy ending. If this is me at 30, where am I at 40? Where am I at 50? And the truth was is that none of these medications were actually relieving me completely. They were just treating the symptoms. That's when I read of Ayurveda. Never had even heard of Ayurveda before. I heard that Ayurveda gets to the root of disease within the body and doesn't just treat the symptom. And that went off like a satellite in me. I said, what's that about? I sought out an Ayurvedic practitioner, and within a month of treatment, half of my symptoms had eased.
Wow, within a month.
Within a month, half had, yes.
Can I just ask, just for just to kind of open it up a little bit, what symptoms are we talking about? How
I had stomach acidity, so that led to borderline stomach ulcers, absolute discomfort, high sensitivity to all foods, not sleeping well because it was waking, keeping me up through the night. When you start to not sleep well and you're living bicoastally, what is the next thing they prescribe you to help you get through that? Sleeping medication. So then there was a little dependency on that. I had rashes from all the heat in my body, which once you study Ayurveda, you understand that any imbalance in the stomach is Agni, is fire. So that fire starts to give you a lot of symptoms in the body, from rashes to redness of skin. So that built up. So I had, and then I had allergies. I couldn't, I had sensitivity to anything from dust to pollen. So I had allergy just to get through my days. Allergy medication, rash medication, stomach acidity medication. Oh, and then sometimes some different things to take after I ate, and then some sleep medication. And it continued from there.
That's a lot going on at 30, isn't it? I mean,
It is.
I didn't start to get any of those kind of symptoms until I was a bit later in life. But it kind of, I think everybody will be able to relate to that. What I love about what you're saying, and we're obviously going to get to this, but I often believe that the body is wiser than perhaps our minds are, and often will give us signals to awakenings. Which is, I think, what our planet is doing for us right now, hence this show being called Lean Into Clean. But I don't want to
That's
give a spoiler alert.
at
But
yeah,
would you agree with that?
absolutely. The body, and that's what I realized, is communicating with us lovingly. These little symptoms are just little alarms. They're the body's way of communicating, saying, this is off balance. We need to balance this within. And how beautiful that it had that communication was there. The problem was I wasn't listening until all of a sudden it got bad enough, and that I had to listen.
It's funny because as I'm talking to you, intuitively, this word just keeps coming to me, Shakti, 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 Shakti. And what I understand about the word Shakti, and just for those of you that are listening, Jamie and I I would think we are kind of spiritual brother and sister. It feels like we've done this before. We understand each other from a kind of energetic, spiritual level. So I'm just giving a caveat there that there's, it's definitely something profound in us coming together with Yogi Cam and Michelle, who we had on the call last week, and Lama Tashi and all the other ambassadors. But yeah, this word Shakti Shakti is coming up. So can I just say that for me, the understanding of the word Shakti is that feminine fire energy, that life force that moves through us from the, and you might want to describe it as Kundalini, you might want to describe it as life force, you might want to describe it as something else. But is that the sense that you get when you hear the word Shakti? And therefore, was this perhaps the Shakti trying to rise within you, but was getting caught up in the density of whatever it was that was stopping it? Therefore, it was flaming up in other ways. I mean, does that resonate?
Surely it was the Shakti rising. That's why we often refer to Shakti as the Divine Mother, because she will come during those times when you are suffering to help relieve you of that suffering and guide you on the right path. And certainly I was guided to the Mahabharata, the great land of India, where these ancient sciences started, me on a path of healing. But Shakti is creation, and creation is, they'll say it is wisdom, will, and action. So they call it Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and Isha Shakti, will. And those three energies is how we create. We need the wisdom to know if we want to create something, we need the intelligence, the wisdom to know how to do that. Then we need the willpower to want to do that, to be able to complete and endure the process of creation and manifesting anything in our life. And then we need to take the action, right? Because we can have all the wisdom and the will, but if we don't take the action, nothing will happen. So it's a combination of those three energies that comes together to manifest anything in life, but our greatest good, our greatest intentions
Beautiful.
that we have.
I love it. I want to come back to your Ayurvedic solutions that you'd notice, but just for those that are listening in, this show is called Lean Into Clean. It's really about the It's really about the time we're living in that we're calling a climate crisis. I don't think nature's calling this a crisis. I think nature is doing exactly what Jemma has just described, in the only way that she can speak to us is by firstly the wisdom, and now is the will, and we need to take action. I think that's what's going on. So when you listen to this story, just yes, of course, it's Jemma's story, and she's an example of a process, but also just hold the space for the macro in your consciousness as well, i.e., is this perhaps what the earth is trying to do to awaken us to this time so that we can remember? So I just wanted to put that little antidote in there, Jemma. But let's go to your month in. You discovered Ayurvedic. Actually, just describe to us what kind of things, what kind of
Well,
meditation.
that's the interesting thing. It's Ayurveda can be so simple in the beginning, especially when you haven't entered an acute stage of disease or imbalance within the body. So it starts off with just some habit changes. Most of us aren't even familiar with, like, if I said, what are the habits of your day? What time do you wake up every morning? What time do you go to bed? What time do you take all of your meals? Most people, all of those times will not be consistent every day. Well, this body's a computer, it's a machine, and it really recognizes and starts to flow in balance when it rises and sleeps at the same time and when it's fed at the same times every day. So just with those changes, and then some herbs to help correct the digestive system, some herbal teas throughout the day, hot water after meals. Game changer for helping with any digestion problems or stomach acidity. Hot water, not boiling hot to where it's warm. And suddenly I was in a different, having a different experience in this body. So much that I said to the practitioner that I was studying with, I want to go to study with your guru in India. Is that possible? I've never been to India before. I'm 30 years old. And, this is back in the day. Couple decades ago, that emails and everything weren't functioning as fast as they were now. So it was some weeks later, if not a month later, that he called me up, the practitioner, and said, my guru said, come. And I said, what? What do you mean, come? Wait, what's going to happen? What do I do? The Western mind wants to know all the details and be with you before it happens. And he was like, no, he just said, come, because,
That was the only message.
That was it. And so I took that leap of faith and I got on a plane and got my first visa to a foreign country and got on a plane to India. And that's when the journey really began, because what I discovered is I was going there to study. I was start My first course was a 3-month immersion into Ayurveda. So I'm there to study Ayurveda. But what I then learned upon arrival, that Ayurveda is a sister science with yoga. And they're like two halves of a circle. With Ayurveda, you can achieve a healthy body. With yoga, you can achieve a healthy mind. And as the guru said, body and mind can't be separated. So we treat it as a whole, and both sciences are used. So in the curriculum of my days, every morning started off at 7 a.m. with yoga. Now, what I didn't know, it was a different yoga than I had ever experienced before. This wasn't the yoga that we practice in Europe and in the West. The postures were held longer. They were prescriptive, because what I didn't know is that the yogis that were teaching me had the ability to actually read the dimensions of my existence. So the physical body, the energy body, the emotional body, the mental body, and they could see imbalances. Just like accountants read numbers, yogis read energy in the body. And they were able to prescribe postures and breath work to correct those imbalances, thus bringing balance to the body and then the mind. By the end of that 3 months, I was a completely different person, body and mind. I had an experience of health that I'd never had before, which brought me confidence in my body. We don't realize it, but when we are dependent on all of these, whether it's a prescription medication or whether we're just not feeling, our best for the most part every day, it starts to work on our self-esteem. Well, when you develop a relationship and a connection with your body again and your self-esteem, you have that self-esteem again, it changes everything. It changes the mind. So there I was, leaving empowered again. And that's when everything changed for me. I said, what just happened there? Because I was studying Ayurveda. I wasn't in treatment while I was there. What the factor was is that 7 days a week for 3 months, I was doing yoga practice every morning. And like I said, minimal postures, less than an hour's worth, and a lot of breath work along with postures. And there I was. And that was it. My entire passion and shift in life just went to yoga. I didn't know at the time that I would immerse myself to the depth that I have now and walk the path of a yogini and commit my life to sharing this science, this complete science of body and mind with others. But here I am.
Here you are. Great. This is great. We're going to have to go to a commercial break. I'm sorry to all the listeners, but this is a perfect moment. Also, I can totally relate to that. My training was exactly the same. It was 2 to 4 hours of yoga a day for, nearly a decade. And a completely transformational. So we're going to come back to the power of yoga and the science of yoga in a minute, but just cut to a commercial break and we'll be back shortly. See you in a moment.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith on Lean Into Clean UK Health Radio. I'm here with Yogini Jema. We're talking about, well, really her kind of life story on, from being perhaps a mere mortal to a walking yogini. So we touched upon yoga. For those that aren't familiar with yoga, yoga is a Sanskrit word, and it actually means union. And the way I understand it, it's the union between, for want of better words, mind, body, and spirit. Is that a pretty much correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It. But that little thing, mind, body, and spirit, is like the thousand-petaled lotus. It just continues to open and reveal itself deeper and deeper and deeper as you continue the practice. So it first starts with developing a relationship with your mind, making your mind not be your enemy, making your mind become your best friend, having a relationship with your body, listening to it communicate with you and tell you what it needs to continue to live in balance so that you don't suffer. So that's the first kind of yoga union that happens, is body and mind. When that's living in harmony and balance, then suddenly you start to become aware of that which is more subtle within the body, that spirit. And that spirit is what is within everyone. That is the Om, that is that it's the vibration of Mother Earth. It's the energy of the universe. It's the spirit within all of us that's universal. So then that is the next union with all, the unity that we are all one.
Beautiful, beautifully put. And I think everybody would love to, if they haven't had a taste of it, would love to get a taste of that. It is amazing, isn't it, that we consider ourselves, and I'm talking about the masses, most people that haven't taken time out to have some kind of spiritual practice or sacred arts practice, consider themselves so separate from yourself, number one, separate from source, separate from nature, separate from each other. And actually, through the practice of yoga and breathing and meditation and, these kind of yogini type practices, one doesn't feel separate at all, does one? When did you start to feel your kind of connection? So you had this 3 months of practice and engagement, and you've said it transformed your life, and you knew something was different. The ailments had gone. You're feeling healthy. You're feeling empowered. I mean, just to point out as well, being a woman in the world, I think is much more difficult than for a man, because men get certain privileges just by getting out of bed in the morning. So just to honor your journey, and appreciation for that. But what was the turning point for you?
I mean, firstly, when you speak about yoga and union, I was in the birthplace of yoga in India, and anyone that journeys to India has that experience of you're in, Paramahansa Yogananda, the author of Autobiography of of a Yogi, considered the father of yoga in the West. He has a great chapter in his book where he had been here in the West for decades in service and teaching everyone yoga and these beautiful healing practices and the power of body and mind. And then when he went back to India, he was just intoxicated again because of that union that everyone is saying with their palms together at their heart, namaste, namaste to one another, because they're recognizing that the light in me, the divine in me, is the same as the light in you. I bow down to that. I recognize that. I see that. That's the mantra of the days of their life, connectivity, not separation. So you're quite taken away with that when you get there. We don't really experience that in the West. Everything is disconnected. How many of us even really have a relationship with our neighbors, with our communities, with Earth? Even in our families, especially now, everyone's we're becoming more and more disconnected with all of the smartphones and the things that are pulling us outward, rather than here in the now. So in India, you experience yoga connectivity like you haven't before, and it's very inspiring. It becomes this foundational kind of support system that helps you as you continue on in the journey. Because as I was told when I left after that first 3 months, and it was only a short period of time before I returned and then continued the next 12 years, the majority of the time living in India. But as I was told when I left that first time, now the work begins.
Yeah, this is, we've opened the door, now you've got to walk through it.
Exactly. Now you leave the support system and then you're thrown back. I remember I landed in Manhattan. I was back in New York City and everyone was in such a rush and everyone was going so fast and there was such tension and there was such impatience and and separation and the vibrancy was so different that there's a bit of a shock. And so then, yeah, I did go back to India and immersed myself in this study of yoga, because what fascinated me, Jarvis, was here I was, I said, how is that possible that for 10 years I was suffering and I was doing everything that I thought was right? I was going to the best doctors, I was seeking out everything, I was doing what I was told to do. Now, let me say, my mother and father, my father's a doctor, my mother is an intensive care nurse. I have a lot of respect for Western medicine in an emergency circumstance, but it doesn't help us in just living healthy and balanced every day. It helps great with emergencies. So, with that said, what was I saying?
Well, you were just saying that really that Western medicine, or the way that we're taught in the West.
That we're not empowered to know that this body and this mind is powerful, and within it we have the faculties to be able to access that power to live a different condition in life. Nature has created this body with all possibility and hope. And whatever we're trying to create in this body or trying to experience in this mind, it can be done with ourself, within ourself. So I was blown away. Like, why doesn't everyone not know this? Why aren't we taught this? It's pretty basic. At that time, I hadn't gone through the tapasyas and the yogic path and the things that we were talking about. No one has to go on the path of a yogini to start this spiritual practice. To me, spiritual practice of just doing some postural work and doing breathing, starting off with that basic capsule every morning, is a return to our sovereignty. You will experience it if you continuously do it every day. It's a capsule of energy that creates a different chemistry in the body. We take a lot of capsules in life, right? People take, or whether it's natural capsules or, prescriptive capsules, but to make us feel better, to give us the vitamins that we need, to relieve the pain that we need. Well, the body has the ability to do that itself. The body in this mind is the best pharmacy that exists on the planet. It will give you everything you need to live in balance. So I became impassioned with that, and I wanted to go deeper and deeper into this science. And when I discovered that, I remember when I first heard, I said, a yogini, oh, what's a yogini? And they said, well, it's a female practitioner of yoga. And I said, okay, that went off like a satellite within me. And then I said, but what really is that path? And they said, it's to become a master of this body and mind, a master of this machine. This is the fact. We are journeying in the most powerful operating system on the planet. It is faster than any computer, more efficient than anything ever created by man. We just weren't given the operating manual on how to use it.
Yeah, I think
So,
that's beautiful. And the other thing, I mean, I think the thing worth pointing out as well is that, unfortunately, today, the system that we are born into and, unfortunately are indoctrinated with, doesn't actually give us the opportunity to step away from it. It's constantly feeding us back into the system because, of course, it's built on economics, it's built on, the elites, it's built on all of the kind of nasty scenarios that we know. But also, I will say that it's also there for you to go, hold on, this isn't working. What do I need to do to get my life on track? So maybe it was set up in such a way that it was an awakening opportunity. So, I think just to point that out, what you're saying, I love because that was your journey, that was your path. Clearly, you were drawn to India, you were drawn to your particular teacher, you were drawn to the practice. There's lots of things I can resonate, but you're right, that's not going to be the journey, same journey for everybody. Some will, go out in nature, some will do Reiki, some will, whatever it might be. I think there's lots of roads, isn't there, that perhaps will lead us to the same part, to the same destination. But we're focusing on yours, so that's the most important thing. So what was the next? Go on, sorry, you were going to say.
Well, I said that's the beauty of suffering and the difficulties that we have in life, that in the yogic culture, we look at that tension, that discomfort that we experience as a blessing, because it forces us, the human nature is that if you're discomfortable, you want to make yourself comfortable, right? So if you're suffering, you naturally want to relieve yourself of suffering. So that's the benefit of when, we do have things that are causing us to suffer, that where we finally go, hold on a second, I want to seek out a way to relieve myself of this suffering and of this tension. So
Beautiful.
yeah,
Should we
and
go? Should we just take this moment to play one of your
oh,
songs?
wonderful. Yes,
Because
let's
this
do
would
it.
be it'd be a nice moment, I think, for anybody that is listening in, wherever you are, in the office, at home, in the car. Maybe don't meditate if you're in the car, but you can certainly join in with this song, because it's a song that has been created specifically for you to reconnect with that, spiritual essence of life, spiritual essence of being. Gemma, tell us the song that you've chosen and who it's by, and then I'm going to invite everybody when it's playing to feel into it. If you can close your eyes and take a moment to really feel it, please do. but certainly allow the sound to resonate through your beingness and see what it awakens within you. What have you chosen, Jema?
I have chosen the Mool Mantra by Snatnam Kaur, who Jarvis, we shared the stage with in Times Square, New York on Peace Day. And we saw the power of the mantra and its ability to actually shift a collective in front of you just through sound. The Mool Mantra literally means one om. So it's all about feeling that unity and that connection that we've been talking about.
Wonderful. So this is Mool Mantra by Snatnam Kaur, and I'll see you back here after your moment.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean. I'm here with Yogini Jema. We just played that beautiful, beautiful song by Snatnam Kaur, the Mool Mantra. Tell me, Yogini Jema, why did you choose that song out of all the songs in all the world?
Well, if I had a choice, you gave me a choice to play two songs in this sacred time that we had together. It's my choice to choose something that has the ability to heal and to heal the body and mind and open the heart. Mantras are vibrations and they influence energy patterns. They're sound energy and they have a direct impact on energy centers in the body, on different centers of the brain. When you enter an energy field where mantras are being chanted, a shift takes place automatically. And we both witnessed that happen in Times Square amidst all of that chaos. When Snatnam got on the stage and sang, you know, chanted this song, it shifted a collective energy like a mandala of peace in front of us. And that's the power of mantra. They have a direct effect on the body and on the mind. The ancient Sanskrit alphabet, which is universal, you'll find the Sanskrit syllables in Sikhism, in Jainism, in Hinduism, in Buddhism. They understood the ancients, the sages. They gave us these mantras because they were like medicine, because they had healing powers that helped us help relieve different symptoms that we were experiencing. The 51 original Sanskrit syllables are directly connected to energy centers within the body and the mind. So that's the science of mantra. It's called Nada Yoga, one of the many different yogas within the science of yoga, and that's the science of sound. So you don't have to understand it. You don't have, there's doesn't have any difference whether you understand the meaning of a mantra. You can just sit and take in the sound vibrations and they will have a direct impact on the body and mind for your greatest good.
Beautiful. If there are any of our listeners out there that did manage to get in a little bit deeper with the songs, don't hesitate to email us and tell us about your response to either what Jema's saying, whether you might have a question for her, anything that the music did for you. You can email us info@ukhealthradio.com. If it's poignant, I might be able to get it read out on the show now. So if you do fancy dropping us an email to tell us how you're feeling, that would be wonderful. So God, the show goes so quickly. I mean, there's like 50 minutes to the end and we just feel like we'd not even scraped the surface. Let's get into. There's a couple of things I want to point out. If you liked Snatam Kaur's music, you'd like to hear her live. If you go to Om Presents, OMMM, so it's O and three M's presents.com, you can actually tune in to the live broadcast, obviously the on-demand version of the live broadcast that happened in Times Square. And Yogini Jama was our presenter. We got to hang out on stage together. Snatam Kaur presented. Lama Tashi was there doing his chants. And a big shout out to Michelle and Maria, who are the Om founders and invited us to become Om ambassadors. So we're very, very happy to do that. Let's go into this space now, Jama. What is, let's talk a little bit about Om. Let's talk a little bit about your purpose, how you've now, and I really want to honor and say this, the amount of time that you have been studying and practicing and living, if that was in Western educational, you would be not only a master, you would be a doctor, you know what I mean? You'd be the highest level of your training. I say this a little bit about myself is that, I practice this stuff, consciously with a teacher for 14 years and now 35 years in terms of practice. I would be seen as a master if that was Western educational stuff. So let's just honor your masterfulness. So as a master or mistress, I'm not sure, it sounds a bit masculine, but whatever the female version, whatever the yogini version of master is, mistress, what is it that you feel like you have learned that you would like to guide or teach or showcase or, what would you, well, that question, I mean, it's so multi-layered, but how would you respond to that? What would you bring to the
I mean,
consciousness of humanity in this moment.
the first thing that always comes to heart and to mind is to come into the realization. It may seem really awkward at first, but I want you to say to yourself, I am powerful. Because the moment that we realize that we are powerful, everything will change. We've been given an explosive magazine of power, and within us are the faculties to use that. If you can just understand, if you slow down your breath, you will have a direct effect on your heart rate. It'll have a direct effect on your blood pressure. It will have a direct effect on your brain waves that will slow down and activate your parasympathetic nervous system that will turn on your body's healing mechanisms to restore and rejuvenate itself and bring yourself balance in all of the operating systems of the bodies with all of the hormones, glands, and organs. Just the breath. That's the power of the breath. And why the word spiritual comes from the root spiritos, which means the breath, because it's through our breath that we can develop and start to remember that experience and that power that we do have, and that connection and that unity that we all have.
Really, really beautiful. For anybody listening in that would like to connect with either Yogini Jama, there obviously she has a social media interaction with the world. Your social media account is?
At Yogini /Jema on Instagram, and that will lead
Okay.
you to everything.
Okay, lovely. So you can find Yogini Jama. In fact, you'll find her if just by searching on Instagram is your best platform.
Instagram is the only
Yeah.
platform I use. It goes
The
to
only
other
one.
ones, but I'm personally active on that one.
Great. So that's a way of connecting with Yogini Jama. Also, if you want to find out more about her, you can go to ompresents.com. I know I'm giving it a lot of plugs at the moment, but I'm really, really supportive of what we're trying to achieve with Om, which essentially is to bring everybody to the greatest party that we could possibly have in this world by reconnecting with each other and with our planet, and maybe finding out that the world isn't such a terrible place. It's just that we've created it in such a way for us to awaken and grow from it. So Om Presents is very much about that. And yes, we're using ancient techniques and other things to engage people, but we are going to be having a retreat also, where people can come and have a residential with us in December. So if you sign up at onpresents.com, we can send you more information about that. I want to get your last song in, Jema, and if it's all right with you, let's speak for, another 5 or so minutes, and then what we'll do is we'll play out your song at the end, and that'll take everybody to the outro of the song. We normally play Save the World by yours truly, but we're not going to do that today because I'm just enjoying this conversation. Tell us a little bit about Om. Tell us a little bit about why you've engaged with Om, and what it is for you. Because of course, for each of us ambassadors, I think it's something slightly different, albeit the same thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Om began with Om to me is a movement of light. It's people that have chosen, because we all have a choice to focus on the light or focus on the darkness in the world. Those two polarities are ever existent. And it's a group of people that have dedicated their lives to focusing on the light and sharing that light with others, with all the different methods and modalities that they know, and to share that with others to bring more light into this world. It began with me being attracted to the light in Michelle and Maria. And it feels like it's just grown in this expansion, and we're this family of light now that continues to grow. And I just feel it starting to grow all over the world. You're experiencing that too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's only been, it's only been a not, only a matter of months that we've
I
been
know.
together.
I know.
Things are
It's more.
happening.
It
Things
is
are
really.
moving quickly.
It is. That's the power of
Yeah,
Om.
it is indeed. It is indeed. And if there was something that you would like to, I guess fix is not quite the correct word, but let's look at it in a kind of, human paradigm frequency. If there was something that you could fix through the power of Om, what would it be?
Education. And what I mean by that is that first Shakti that we talked about, the wisdom. The wisdom, this ancient science of yoga is universal. It's the science of our body and mind. We all have a body and mind in common. And that wisdom is very old. It's tens of thousands of years old. It's embedded in our consciousness, whether we remember it or not.
It's in our
So
DNA, isn't it? It's in our
it's in
very
our
makeup.
DNA. So to remember, that's better yet said, to remember that wisdom, because just in that remembrance, you awaken that memory within the DNA again, and it surely starts to shift things within your body and mind and within your life.
Yeah, beautiful. Now, I think anybody that's listening, if you are feeling moved or touched or informed, do take a moment to sit, take a few deep breaths, and just ask for the awakening to happen within you. Just give the instruction that you would like any dormant abilities or any sacred and ancient ways to be awakened within your own beingness so that you can be the powerful individual that incarnated at this time to make a difference in the world.
Yes.
Tell us about the second song you've chosen, Yogini Jema. Tell us why you chose it, and then we're going to play out to the end of the show with your next song. What have you chosen and why?
Again, sending out healing vibrations for all. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. May all beings be happy and healthy, and may Mother Nature return to her vibrant self. This is a song by Janvi Harrison. Hari Om Tat Sat. It means that creation and the creator are one. The divine and me are one. So again, that yoga, that unity.
Beautiful. So use this moment to awaken the spirit within you. Om Shanti, ompresents.com if you want to connect with us. Thank you to my producer and amazing, brilliant person, Johan. It's always a pleasure having you behind the scenes, making sure everything runs smoothly. Yogini Jema, thank you for joining us. This is just the beginning of getting you involved in these shows. We'll have you on again when there's something else that's arising within the Om movement. Much love to you and thank
Much
you.
love to you all. Thank you, Jarvis.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.